Okay, Nita, we're ready for you, please.
Thank you, Darrell. You did a great job. Welcome, everyone. Wonderful day, isn't it? Here in Northern Washington, the skies are so blue, so crisp, they're so beautiful. The day is just extraordinary, I might add. God is good. He's good to us. He's good for us. And never in this world could we have anything or anyone more wonderful to give him thanks for than himself. I just love him. I love him so much. And I know you do too, because you join us week after week fighting for America, believing that in his goodness, he's going to do something extraordinary for us. I'm so glad. Well, before I start teaching, I need to share something with you. I was just looking through some old words from the Lord a few days ago and ran across a prophetic word that I had totally forgotten. He gave it to me, if I recall, in 2020, wherever that word is right this moment, that date is on it as well, but I think it was 2020. The Lord told me that jihadists would attack Israel. And he further said, Israel left this door open due to the heavy degree of sin that was being practiced in this nation. They will and are making their own wake-up call. Nevertheless, God will fight for them. So as we pray, do we pray for them tonight? If we don't, and we pray for them tomorrow, we want to pray right. God, from time immemorial, determined to allow Israel to walk into their own self-made revelation. Not one that's fun, is it? But God is a holy God, and he gave birth to Israel as a holy nation. I remember probably four decades ago, I was praying for Israel when suddenly the Lord showed me a map of Israel. And written on this map in light were the words, holiness unto the Lord. And now one wonders when a nation or a person falls into such sin, how God can still call them holiness unto the Lord. Well, the truth is, he designated that would be true. Oh, it started in the beginning, way back in the beginning. But then we also saw it in the desert when Moses was establishing the tabernacle, and the high priest would wear this band, as it were, on his we might call it a crown, but it's a priestly, and I can't remember what they call it, turban, his priestly turban. And on that placket was the words, holiness unto the Lord. And the Lord explained to me that just because Israel has a tendency to slide off track doesn't mean that God has rejected them. Good thing, you know, because I'm Jewish. And so that was a very pleasant thing to hear. And because of the covenant he made with Abraham, Israel will forever belong to the Lord. When it comes to salvation, in the end, they of themselves will make the decision, just as it is today, whether or not they want to spend eternity with him. But if they don't bow the knee to Messiah, he has no choice but to let that rejection of their Savior determine their eternity. He has no choice in the matter. He gave us, as a people, Messiah. He gave us Yeshua. But we have misunderstood the whole thing. We've tempted the Lord. We really have just been, well, kind of a burden to him. Nevertheless, a father doesn't turn to hate his son just because his son is not perfect. God loves Israel, and the rules are spelled out in the book. This is what I tell you, that you may not sin against me. In another place, this is what I have shown you, that you may not sin against me. In another place, he writes, I did this to teach you the fear of the Lord, that you may not sin against me. Now, I've got to stop or I'm going to be crying. But that's God's heart. He has shown us so many times, last mighty, mighty indication of his great love for my people was to send his own son, who gave his life for us, died on the cross for us. Oh, I know, people point their finger and say, yeah, it was you Jews that did it. We had our part in it. It's true. But as history would have it, the Gentiles had just as much a part, if not more, than Israel. And this is true because God consigned all man to sin, as Paul wrote in the book of Romans. We were all consigned to sin that we may all know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And so, because Israel dislodged itself from the tree for a while, God didn't do that to them. We did it to ourselves. But just for a little while, he allowed it that he might open the door to bless the Gentiles around the world. And then time would have it that he'd sweep. I've got to stop. I'm not going to be able to speak to you tonight. Just the whole thing makes me cry for his love. His great love. He determined that the first shall be last. And whilst we were the head, it was also determined that we would be the tail. It was as though we opened the door and he moved us immediately to the back of all things, that we would push the Gentiles and the Jews, any who will, through that open door. And then he'd bring us in. And by the awakening of Israel, he would show the whole world his great love. Not just our people, but the whole world would see and understand the redeeming love of the master of our souls. And this that Israel is going through is a prelude to that eventuality. He had to let it happen, you understand, because we're in sin, and sin has blinded us to our Savior. Our unbelief has blinded us to our Savior. So he had to let the discipline come to begin to wipe away that veil from our eyes, that we may see. The Messiah truly is the glory of Israel. He was the Son, always perfect man, always God. And the Son who would deliver Israel. We would see it and be glad. We would see it and be so thankful. And when it's all said and done, the whole world will rejoice. What a mighty God we serve. Now, I just wanted you to know that about Israel. When you pray, pray that we will repent. That God will open the eyes of the blind. That those who see not will see. And in seeing, they will turn to their Savior. And that God will be greatly glorified in the earth for what we do. The jihadists, there might be 1 in 100,000 that will ever say yes to God because of the default that the earlier generations have done to their children. They've made it almost impossible for their offspring to ever find truth. They have been so deluded and so their brains have been poisoned to truth. Not many can come out of something of that nature. Things that started when they were just literally little guys, little girls never find truth. And of course, that is exactly what the senior Hamas leaders wanted. But we can pray for that one. We can pray that God will awaken any who will, that they too may find their salvation through Christ. But I guess we're not praying over that tonight unless I pray over it later on. And I want to not neglect what the Lord has asked me to speak to you in what little time I have left. I'm sorry, just sniffling up a storm. Okay, Luke chapter 1, starting with 68. This was originally spoken over our people. But tonight, it's going to be spoken over the church. Luke 1, beginning with verse 68. Blessed, praised, and extolled, and thanked be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and brought deliverance and redemption to his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation, a mighty and a valiant helper, the author of salvation, for us in the house of David, his servant. This is as he promised by the mouth of his holy prophets from the most ancient times in the memory of man, that we should have deliverance and be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who detest and pursue us with hatred, to make true and show mercy and compassion and kindness promised to our forefathers, and to remember and carry out his holy covenant, to bless, which is all the more sacred because it is made by God himself. That covenant he sealed by an oath to our forefather Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our foes, might serve him fearlessly in holiness, that is, divine consecration and righteousness, in accordance with the everlasting principles of right, within his presence all the days of our life. And so, as it was with Israel, it is with the church. God set up a temple in the earth. The Gentiles thought they would tear that temple down and God would be gone forever. How little they knew or understood God's ways. He built the temple in the earth that Israel might see, and that the Gentile who would could hearken to the truth that was given to Israel. But it was only an image. It was symbolic of something so much higher, so much greater, so much more beautiful than what had already transpired. The temple of Israel was the most beautiful temple on all the earth back then. But there is a temple today that is even more beautiful. And that temple, according to the new covenant, is you. You and me. God set us apart. He delivered us from the hand of our enemy. He did not leave us in the world without protection. What he said is that I send you out into the world, but be not afraid. For greater is he that is in you, my child, than he that is in the world. He also sent us a song. And the song had many choruses, had many ways of revealing the mysteries and the truths of God. And we called that the Old Covenant. Such a beautiful song. You say, well, where did you get that from? Well, that's what the Lord told Ezekiel. It's a song, and it's a beautiful song. And even the most hard-hearted in hearing the song cannot say anything but that. It is a beautiful song. The problem is now, was that there was no faith. And today, even today, the greatest amount of people, the greatest measure of people, do not have faith. They hear the song. They say it's beautiful. They say it's lovely. Its tune, its melody, its words are lovely. But no faith. And because of our unbelief, the people of the earth will miss the very joy of that song throughout eternity. We also know that God gave us a covenant just as he gave my people Israel. What you see happening as Jewish people continue to be born again is proof evident that God will never fall back on his promises. The fact that he continues to invite my people, his people, to come and drink of the waters, come and eat the bread, come and taste and see that God is good after all we've done, all the mistakes, all the rebellion, after all we've done, is proof that he will have as much mercy and grace for the Gentiles, because that's who he is. He's God. He loves like none of us can possibly imagine. He loves, he's faithful, he has a plan, he's going to see that plan through, he's not a quitter, aren't we glad? He is light, light overtakes the darkness, light opens the darkness up and pulls the mysteries out and puts them right in our lap. And as we read, as we dine upon the mysteries of God, we begin to be transformed into what? Those mysteries. And that's what union is all about. I love, let's read again verse 72 on down, to make true and show the mercy and compassion and kindness promised to our forefathers. Who are our forefathers? Well, you know that story. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all those who would come to be the forefathers, even of the church. That he should have deliverance and be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all those who detest and pursue us with hatred, to make true and show the mercy and compassion, kindness promised to our forefathers, and to remember and carry out his holy covenant, to bless, which is all the more sacred because it is made by God himself. Wow. Just think about that. The one that made the world and everything in it, made the heavens, everything in them. God, Adonai, Yahweh, God the Father. He made the promise. He made the promise. And as it was said, so shall it be. That covenant he sealed by an oath to our forefather Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our foes, might serve him fearlessly. Ooh, is there really such a day on this earth that that can be true? Yes. When? Union. Union takes you out of the pool, that waiting pool, and puts you right into the lap of the divine. When you come out of the mysteries of sin, you get saved. You're kind of put into a pool. You wade around in it. And that pool is a pool of mysteries of where you can go, who you can be, what he will do, what your future is, as long as you believe. Then he starts working with us. He starts developing our will that we might have the mysteries that are in those waters. He works with our will to do what? His good pleasure. That's right. And why is this? Because we're human. And if he doesn't change that will of ours, it's as stubborn as it ever was. So he does this. He cleanses our feet just like he did Peter. He cleanses our feet with those mysteries. And he begins to prepare our inner man to receive those mysteries. Begins to put within them a hunger for those mysteries. That's what he did with me. I didn't know that there was such a thing as union. I didn't know. But he was so good, so kind, so wonderful. And he revealed all that to me. Love like nothing I've ever tasted or seen or heard. I didn't think there could be greater love in the whole earth than the love I had for my daughter. I loved her with everything inside me. But my love was so shallow. It was so shallow. It was like looking at murky water compared to the mercury that they put in the thermometer. So beautiful. His love was so inexplicably, inexpressibly beautiful. Never had I ever tasted anything like it. And I think my little girl back then agreed. She must have, because she was winning all of her friends to the Lord after she got saved, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, got everyone saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit. If they needed healing, she'd pray for them, and they would get healed. It was an amazing thing. Revival certainly came to our home. But he sealed the oath. Listen to that. Isn't that beautiful? He sealed the oath given to our forefather Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our foes, might serve Christ and the Father fearlessly. In holiness, divine consecration and righteousness, in accordance with the everlasting principles of right, within his presence all the days of our life. Oh, what a future! We had no idea what he had in store, how beautiful it would be, how wonderful it would be. At times, just to sense his presence. At other times, to feel his presence. Still other times, we might hear his word. We might hear his voice. Other times, he may instruct our mind and our understanding. Oh, God touching us. What a holy desire. How could we ever know that the end result of it all is that we would be made into his image? And that's what union is all about. When he is finished possessing you, when that major work is finished, you are then made into his image. You have the mind of Christ. You no longer walk in the mind and the understanding of a child, as 99% of the church does. Even the greatest theologians do not understand from heaven's perspective. He is the one that has to impart that to us. And oh, how he delights in doing it. How he longs for the flower bed of the elect to desire the seeds, the illustrious seeds of truth that he will give only to the church. And the greatest of those seeds is reserved for those who are in union. So that you no longer just know the truth, but you become the truth. You no longer just know about Jesus, but you become one made into his image. Is it possible? Yes, I'm living proof of that. It probably sounds like I'm bragging. I had such a hard time just finally coming right out and saying it, until the Lord spoke to me in a vision and told me, I want you to start telling the people you're in union with me. Say it over and over again, because those who truly want that hidden place in me will rejoice and their faith will be strengthened by your words. Tell them. So in other sundry ways, he would reiterate it, and I finally got it down, but that doesn't mean it's always easy. I don't want people to think I'm bragging. I'm just so full of joy that I am his daughter, and I'm so full of joy that he wants you to be his son and his or his daughter. And I am living proof meant to sit here or to stand behind a pulpit and tell you over and over and over again, it's possible. And as you enter into this dwelling place of holiness, he will enable you more and more, deeper and deeper, wider and wider, to walk in the glory of his holiness. And the more you walk there, the more you will come to know and understand your God. Now, I took up the first half of this message on Israel, so I'm not going to say anything more tonight, but a reminder, don't stop praying. Don't stop spending glorious time in the Word, that you too may have union. Pray that he'll give you love. Pray that he'll give you faith. And as you go about your journey, that prayer will change, that you're no longer praying just that he will give you love, but you will be praying, make me love, Lord. Make me the very essence of your love for your glory. And he's going to have a great outpouring of grace and love for his church soon. It's already begun, but it's not like it's going to be. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know how much time I took, but whatever it is, I hope I've given you enough on both levels to know how to pray. We love you. We love you. Okay, Daryl.